Fourth and final hour. Hope a lot of you went out to Tin Roof on Broadway tonight from 7 until 8. Go see the captain, Roman Josi. Tell him how much you appreciate the way this team has played this season. It'll be a fun night. Those shows are always fun, and Roman Josi been nice enough to generate his time. There's not much time off for these guys these days. 14 games this month alone in 28 days. And he's willing to go out there on a Wednesday night and meet and greet, do a radio show, talk to the fans, take pictures, sign autographs. And so I hope a lot of you show up to Tin Roof on Broadway.
I think it says a lot about Roman Josi, because if you think about it, he could have laid that off. He's the captain. He could have gone to a younger player and said, dude, you're doing this. But he said he knew that a lot of the guys' schedule is just like his, right? They've had four games. Tomorrow will be, what, 6-9? Mm-hmm. 6 games in 9 nights. And on Friday night, there's a team event, the Preds and Threads, which you've been hearing us promote that as well. So everybody's got to be at that. So you can bet that they weren't volunteering and saying, oh, you know, fighting over who's going to do the show tonight. So just want to put it in perspective. So I hope the fans appreciate that, and I hope they come out and hang out with Roman Josi. Appreciate that he's willing to make this appearance. And, of course, you get to hang out with Skillsy, too, and Braden Gall.
5-8 is what it is. 5-8.
That's tough.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's not a lot of nights off. There's some nights where you're like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit home and just recharge here.
Yeah. Let's bring in our man Chris Mason. CMace30 on Twitter. Give him a follow. He is our fashion expert, and you'll learn that on Friday night. Preds and Threads. CMace, what's up?
What's up? How you guys doing? I just wanted to touch, too. I heard you guys talking about the radio show there. And if fans haven't gotten to know Roman Josi at all, he's got a great sense of humor. He's really funny. And so it'll be fun, especially with Skillsy. You'll probably get some good stuff out of him. So got to go check it out.
And Skillsy's always good for a joke or two.
Oh, yeah. And remember this, too. When Hal Gill got traded to the Predators towards the end of his career, Roman Josi was an up-and-comer who, quite honestly, and Hal would be the first to admit this, Hal didn't know much about Roman Josi. But after playing with him a little bit,
well, they were paired Mace, together.
He was sharing some stories with us tonight. Hopefully, Hal will tell some of this on the air tonight, because it's great stuff.
He's told it already on the air during the broadcast and talking about, in fact, he did it Monday night in the Ottawa game when we brought it up in postgame. You know, he's like, who is this kid? You know, they paired me up with. And then after the game, I said, did you know right away that he was going to be this good? He said, oh, yeah. He's like, he knew right away. I mean,
he's like, I want to play with that guy.
The word Hal kept using, smooth. Roman is just so, everything he does, he's just smooth. And it almost at times looks effortless, but that just shows you his skill level. That's how good he is.
It is effortless. He's not even trying out there. So
kind of like you and Net, Chris.
Oh, I was a battle. You knew I was working hard in there to make saves. There's no question about that. It wasn't much grace when I was doing my thing.
Well, what have you seen through your goalie eyes? What has changed? UC Saros, Peter Laviolette touched on it a bit after last night's win in Detroit. He was put in some difficult spots, which is what happens to backup goalies very early on in the season. They were still kind of finding their way. They didn't help him a lot. But the first three starts, maybe four, you could throw in there, wasn't the UC Saros we've seen ever since. I mean, he has just been lights out. What has changed? What have you seen through your eyes?
Well, honestly, I don't really think much has changed. I know the results didn't go his way at the beginning of the year, and then, you know, everything gets really blown out of proportion. I don't think the guys played well in front of him the first few games of the season, so you know, that coupled with the Islander game, which was probably one of the worst luck games I've seen all season for a Preds goaltender, where four of the goals weren't even going to be shots on goal, and it went off either one of our guys or bounced off of one of their guys, really fluky things. I haven't – he is an anomaly in the fact that there's this great quote. I think I showed Willie. I'm not gonna try to repeat it or anything, but he's just able to repeat his movements so robotic, and the way that he processes the game and is able to move his body the same time or almost instantaneously as his mind sees it just allows for him to be so consistent, because he can just repeat the same movements over and over again. And I just think since that tough start, he's every single game he's been good. There's just a consistency in his game that not a lot of guys have, especially as a backup, because your starts are a little more infrequent, obviously, than the starting goaltender. So for him to be able to play and sustain the level of play that he has for how long he has, it's just incredible.
Yeah, and such at an early age. I mean, he's just 22 years old, and I think what jumps out at me is just his instincts. I mean, I just feel like he knows his awareness of what's going on around him and where the puck is and already maybe looking ahead and seeing where the puck may be. I love where it looks like he's got great instincts.
He's got great instincts. He's just in control, and he's developed over obviously a lot of practice and training patterns in the net. So he repeats these patterns over and over again, and the way that he assesses and analyzes plays coming at you and realizes the next danger areas and his ability to change, with on a deflection or on a redirect or something, a broken up play. He's able to dig his edges in and just react right away to it. He's just, and I don't say this because he's the Predators goaltender, but he is probably the most technical sound goalie in the NHL. And I when I first saw him 2 years ago at training camp, I didn't know much about him. I knew his name. I wasn't full-time with the Predators, so I was asking questions. I was literally like, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, who is this guy? Because I was just blown away at the abilities that he has. And now he's obviously they're on display every time he plays in the NHL now. So he's a talent.
Everybody, including the locker room, everybody has mad respect for Pekka and his career and what he's done. He's just an incredible human being. He's a great hockey player, and he's going for win number 300 tomorrow night against the Sharks. How cool is that?
Well, it's so cool. And, I'm sure when he gets it, hopefully it is tomorrow, he's going to deflect and he'll say, you know what, I've had the pleasure and the honor of playing with such great players around me, and he's going to just completely deflect all the praise, and that's what Pekka does. And that's why you love the guy so much, because he's honestly one of the most genuine people that I've ever met and one of the best teammates. You know, you honestly can't say find a bad thing to say about Pekka Rinne, and nobody can. So he's just one of the best guys around. So it'd be pretty cool for him to get that for sure.
What do you think they need to do down the stretch run? You've been down the stretch run as a player. So when you get to this point in the season, as they're about to wrap up the month of February and head into March, you know that's, to use a baseball reference, they're rounding third and they're heading home for the regular season, and then the new chapter, the new book, starts in the playoffs. So what is Peter Laviolette and the coaching staff and the players, what's being actively discussed right now for the stretch run?
I think you just clean it up a little bit. I think the power play is starting to come. You saw, a little bit of that, those dog days here the last couple of weeks, but the fact that they've been able to still get points on the Eastern swing when they didn't play even close to their best hockey just shows the talent and the depth they have, and that they can, still get it done when you're not playing your best. But I think defensively, cleaning up a bit, a little more structured, maybe a little more certain on your decisions, those 50-50 chances. When you're trying to push the pace and score goals, but it's a 50-50 and then you end up giving an odd man rush. I just think those things come playoff time are so important when, one of those plays just can swing the momentum of a game or a series. So just keep going. The last two games have been good effort-wise and, on the attack-wise, but just cleaning up a little bit defensively going down the stretch.
Trading deadline is Monday, and then you also have just around the corner looming is Mike Fisher back in the fold in the mix. He's already back in the fold and in the mix, but officially, and then we're going to see him for a game here very soon. How do you think that's going to play out? And because of the interesting dynamic where it's not bringing in an outsider, it's bringing somebody in that everybody knows and is familiar with, and it's going to be seamless, we know, but them working him in initially, considering they're going into game 60 and he hasn't played a game this season.
I don't think there's any pressure here. I just think, like you said, they know what kind of person, obviously, you're getting one of the most quality people that you can find in Mike Fisher. They know him. Everybody knows him. And Mike's got no expectations. They asked him to come back and be a part of it. He thought about it. He's thought, hey, this could be, you know, last year was amazing. I could be part of something special again. And he had a little something left in the basement. So I think he's coming back as a support system. Whatever happens, happens. So if they work him in, they'll probably start him on the fourth line, manage his minutes, see how it goes, and then go from there. I don't think there's any set spot you're looking at in the lineup where you're penciling Mike Fisher in there. If it works out, you know, and he plays good and he comes back, and you know, he's obviously logged. He's a penalty killing expert. He's logged some power play time. If those opportunities arise and he has good success to start, then you know, maybe the decision starts to change a bit where you slot him in the lineup. But I just don't think there's any expectations on where exactly Mike Fisher's going to end up.
Chris Mason is with us. We're talking Predators hockey. Mace, I was picking your brain along with Hal Gills last night before the game on Eli Tolvanen, and just on how you try to translate what he's doing and what he is. I guess it's now a complete package in the Olympics now that they've been eliminated by Canada in the quarterfinals. But he had a great tournament, obviously. Now he's got to finish up the regular season of the KHL. But just trying to project, if they wanted to bring him over and plug him in, what that process would be like. But the first thing you said was just when you've got a guy who can shoot an elite shot, which is what the scouting report is on him, that's a skill that does translate.
For sure. You need, you know, with that, Nashville's got a ton of guys that can get somebody like that the puck. So he's got that goal-scoring ability, that elite special ability to get the, you know, have the puck on and off his stick, and you know, that Patrick Laine type of shot where you can beat goalies from areas where other guys can't, you know, just that sniper ability. But the biggest thing for a young player coming over, and we saw it with Kevin Fiala, is learning defense. Obviously over here the rinks are a bit smaller, you have less time with a puck, so your decisions have to be made you know, fractions of seconds sooner, and that's an eternity when you're playing in the NHL and you're talking about a turnover going back the other way. So he's going to, if in fact he does come over, and you know, that's something that they're going to look at, they'll have to be able to trust him defensively. You know, those situations, Peter Laviolette's a very situational coach. He's big on trusting players. It took Kevin Fiala a while to learn how to play that and earn the coach's trust. And that's why he spent time in Milwaukee. But, you know, it's something that I feel is just, it's a no-brainer. You don't have to give up anything for it. And if Jokerk ends up losing out in the playoffs here, I think it's it'd be pretty cool to see him over in a Preds uniform.
If the Predators are going to get win number 300 for Pekka Rinne tomorrow, they'll have to beat a team that's playing really good hockey right now, the San Jose Sharks. They went into St. Louis and won last night. They've won 3 in a row. 7 out of 10, and they've got one of the most unique players in the game in Brent Burns on that blue line. And I, you know, you look at Roman Josi gets a lot of shots. He has more shots than any other Predator, and that's rare for a defenseman. But Brent Burns is in a category of his own. 247 shots on goal. That's incredible.
He is really incredible. You know, he's a hybrid type of player. You know, they've moved him up and back, and he's played everywhere in his career. You know, it's a pretty unique situation. I don't think that he's played on, you know, teams where, like Roman Josi, they've got multiple guys who can kind of do that, you know, play that type of a game where they're joining in the rush. So he really, I don't know, it's hard to explain because he is such an anomaly, and I actually really enjoy watching the guy play. But he's just a rover out there. He gets involved in the play. He's a big guy. He's physical, and he can skate well for a big guy. And he's got a very deceptive shot. And he's got excellent hands. Beats guys one on one. You don't see a lot of defensemen beat guys one on one. You'll see them drive wide and maybe, you know, make moves in zone here and there. But Brent Burns is able to do that, and he's got great hands on a breakaway too. So he's a pretty special player.
Last night, it was a great end to the game. I thought it showed a lot of ability for UC Soros to help to close it out in the chaos when you know that the home team is pushing. They're trying to get that tying goal. They'd already built some momentum leading up to it. Those closing minutes were really interesting for me to watch his poise in there. And also all the stuff that goes around him. Colton Sissons had a great diving block, and just all those plays where the little things are so important.
It was, and this is, I think you brought up the stat of, 18 one-goal games?
They've won 18 one-goal games. That's right up towards the top of the league, and 15 of the last 20 Predators games have been decided by one goal, which is rare when you think about it, because there's a lot of games that it's really a one-goal game, but a team scores an empty net goal, and it ends up being a two-goal game. But even that, and that happened on Saturday, but even saying that, 15 of the last 20 Predators games come right down to the last seconds.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And that is a lot of games, and it just shows me that, you know, this team is, they're comfortable in any position. It's just they have a next level confidence, and it really translates obviously in the results, but just the way they play, there's no moment that's ever too big out there. I know a lot of times when you are playing with a younger team or a team that's, you know, goes through some good stretches and bad stretches, they look like it's just a matter of time before they're going to give up these games and lose these one-goal games. But, like, come playoff time, that's all it's going to be, pretty much. You're not going to see, you know, two- or three-goal blowout games. You might see the odd one, but every game comes down to those situations where holding on to that lead and playing the right way, you know, in the third period, making the right decisions when you have that one-goal lead, getting the big saves from your goaltender, whether it's Pekka Rinne or last night UC Saros, it's the difference in so many points throughout the year. And come playoff time, the fact that they're playing these games right now and they're having success, just to me, I just like the way that, you know, that comes together, and just the confidence that these guys have played with in those situations. And they know that no situation for these guys is too big. They're just comfortable wherever they are, if they're playing behind, if they're ahead, or in their tight hockey game. So to me, it's a great sign.
Pace, before we let you go, I want to get you to talk about the piece you did last night for Fox Sports Tennessee, just illustrating some of these adjustments that Pekka Rinne has made in his game. And without getting technical on the air, the thing I want you to hit on, and by the way, if people haven't seen it and you missed it last night on the broadcast, you could see it on Twitter. Just go to the Fox Sports Tennessee Twitter handle, PredsOnFSTN. We'll retweet it as well, so it's out there. So I want people, if you like to get technical and see that stuff, Mace does a great job. But Mace, I want to hit you with this on Pekka. It'd be easy for a guy at this stage of his career to say, hey, I've won a lot of games in this league. I know how to play. I'm just going to play my game. But for him to make the adjustments and be willing to evolve a little bit, that's made an even better difference. But not every player would take on that challenge.
No, you're right. And it's hard to do. I did this at the end of my career to try to get it to go a year or two longer. So I would every summer I'd go up to drive up to Calgary four times a week, and I hired a goalie coach to help me try to learn these new techniques. And Pekka, you know, obviously he's a lot better than I was, but the last four years with Ben Vanderklok, they've been working on this slowly, just trying to, you know, develop the muscle memory, put this into his game. It helps having Saros, UC Saros with him. I think they both, you couldn't really have handpicked two better guys to put together, not only because they're from Finland, but just in terms of the way that each of them play. And I think that's helped having, you know, the example of kind of some of the things, the new techniques that the younger goalies are bringing into the game at the other end all the time. And this year, to me, it's just finally taken shape completely to now this is the way Pekka plays goaltender. So it's just been a really cool evolution of Pekka Rinne the last few years, and just the position too, and the fact that, like you said, he's been able to do it. It's not easy, and he's worked really, really hard at it with Ben Vanderklok the last few years, and it's certainly paying off.
All right, I want to put you on the spot on the way out the door. Tonight, just after 10 o'clock, gold medal game on the women's side, U.S. and Canada. Who's going to win?
Come on, man. I got to go.
What?
I got to go Canada.
Well,
Canada won.
You don't
have
to go Canada.
Yeah, well, I have to, because I cheer with my heart, and my daughters will be cheering for the U.S., and I will be, my wife and I will be cheering for Canada.
Okay, but I didn't ask, so you're just saying?
I'm saying Canada.
Okay.
I'm saying Canada.
So you don't think U.S. can pull off the upset?
I think it's one of the best rivalries in sports, personally. I know that, you know, the passion that these girls, these women play with over, you know, the course of their reigns as the best teams in the world, it brings out the best in all of these women, and I love watching the hockey, and it, people, especially up, it's growing here more. Now the attention to it, in Canada, people love watching the women's hockey as much as the men's, just because of that passion and the rivalry between the two countries. So
will there be
a
watch
wait.
Party in Red Deer tonight?
There will be a watch party everywhere in Canada.
Oh, they're all over this, man.
Let me say this on the way out, and I mean this, and I don't mean for this to get weird or anything, but Willie and I have worked with a lot of formers in all sports, whether hockey, but pick a sport. Professional sports, and just because they're formers and they played the game, yes, they have a unique perspective, so they bring something to the table, but it doesn't mean that they're all great in the booth. We're really, really lucky. I know Hal's going through this on the radio side for his first year. It doesn't feel that way. It feels like he's been doing it for a long time, and you in your first year full-time in the booth with Willie. We're really lucky here to have you and Hal as color commentators on radio and television, because you guys are really good at what you do.
Wow, thanks, man. And honestly, like, we're lucky. You guys, over the last couple of years, you have no idea how much you've helped me get, you know, into this business, where at first I didn't know if this was something that I was even going to do or I would even like doing, but I love it. So it's been so much fun. I know how first year too, so we're kind of in this together, and we kind of laugh at some of the stuff that we have to do and MC this or get up in front of the people and do that, and it's just kind of funny, and it helps, you know, kind of going through that together. And then, you know, we always know you guys always have our back, so it's pretty cool and nice to be part of a good team.
The videos you guys were posting in Montreal, I mean, I was crying. I mean, please
we
do
got
that
a couple
on
more
the next...
we got a few more on yes. The in the works here. We just got to get back on the road, and then we can set them all up. So,
well, I was going to say, you're going back up to Canada, so if you could, do some more videos. I mean, I was crying.
We certainly will.
Hey, thanks for doing this as always.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Chris Mason, CMace30 on Twitter. Give him a follow, and I meant it, that we are really lucky. And I know a lot of people are enjoying what they're bringing to the table, because they do have a unique perspective, but they also can translate it well. They both are very good at their delivery.
That's the important thing.
And they're having fun with it. That's another
thing.
They're having fun with it.
Look,
you're supposed to have fun with this. Look at what we're doing. You're supposed to have fun. There's times to be serious, but there's also times to have fun, and they're doing that. So we'll come back with more here on the fourth and final hour on this Wednesday edition on 102.5 The Game. Craig Custance was on the show with us yesterday. Covers the Red Wings for The Athletic. And we talked about the matchup last night in the Motor City at Little Caesars Arena. And, of course, we talked a lot about the trading deadline, which is Monday. He's come out with something a little bit more. We'll get to in just a moment. You're going to want to hear what Craig Custance had to say. Of course, long time at ESPN, now with The Athletic. But first, Willie, we must make some people happy. I said we would give some stuff away before we get out of here. Keep your microphone intact so we can hear you. So it's time to give some things away. And I figured this is right up your alley. Julian, get ready. You may have to come in here and fix Willie's mic.
Oh, no.
It may be hanging on by a thread. All right, let's give away some Vanderbilt basketball tickets. They're going to be hosting Missouri at Memorial Gym next Tuesday. Tuesday, February 27th. Let's give away tickets. But first, before we just say, you know, Kyler 5, let's make them earn it. Let's give them a trivia question. A Vanderbilt basketball, it doesn't have to be when you were wearing the short shorts and the big tube socks and the Chuck Taylors. But come up with a Vanderbilt basketball trivia question. And the first person to get it right, Julian, they're going to win tickets to that game. That's going to be a really good game. there may be a lot on the line for Missouri.
Oh, by the way, Michael Porter Jr. might play.
And that's the whispering right now. There's a lot of whispering that he may play.
But he might not. He goes to the doctors, I believe, tomorrow, so we'll find out.
But he could.
Very possibly he could play.
But he might not.
Probably won't.
Isn't that what's fun about whispers? He may play, but he might not play. Well, thanks. Good stuff. All right, what's the trivia question before we get to what Craig Custance has put out there?
All right, let's do a trivia question, Vanderbilt basketball. Well, I was hoping something would pop into my head that was more provocative than this.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
We could do an easy one.
Yeah,
here's one. How many home games in a row has Vanderbilt won this season?
See, that's – come on. We want to have a little more depth and substance.
Okay,
fun.
Well, we gave you a shot.
I know.
You said you jumped at it. You're like, yes!
I know. I know.
Give me the ball, coach. Put me in.
How about
and
a question?
And then he fumbled right off
his knee. All right, here's
ollie.
One. Here's
he did
one.
An ollie. Fumbled it right off his knee and out of bounds.
We're gonna meld this with with the bracketology, the bubble watch that we've been doing, okay? I'm going to give you a trivia question, and this is one that you're probably not going to know unless you are a complete Vanderbilt basketball nerd, all right? I had one start in my college career at Vanderbilt, one. Played 70 games, started one. The opponent is in the America East Conference. You have to guess what team that is.
One more time.
I played 70 games as a Vanderbilt Commodore, three seasons. I started one game. It was against a team.
You've told this story probably.
I have told this story before. So if you've heard this
many, many times
in the past, over the years,
you
maybe you know.
It.
Maybe you got it.
Yeah.
But it was against a team from the America East Conference. If you can get this team, we're going to send you to Memorial Gym.
I will give you a hint because I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, it must be Athletes in Action. It was not Athletes in
Action.
They're
not in the America East.
You may also be thinking, oh, yeah, that's easy. Back when Willie played, that's got to be Marathon Oil.
I had great games against both of those teams, but I didn't start in those games. Those were exhibition games.
Okay.
And I didn't start anyway.
One brave soul. That's all we need. 737-1025. We're going to take it off the air.
America East Conference.
Willie's start was against whom? 737-1025. We'll give you tickets to Vandy, Missouri next Tuesday at Memorial Gym, and Willie will not play in that game.
Will not neither start nor play.
Okay. While we do that, and so far, Willie, I just want to give you a heads up. Not one single person is called.
I will even give you a hint. Their nickname is the Wildcats.
Okay.
It's like 200 teams in college basketball.
I was going to say, it narrows it down, but it doesn't give it away. It doesn't give it away.
Okay. 737.
This team, I'll say it like.
Oh, look, the hint is working. The phone lines
the phones
are
going
up. Yeah.
This team from the America East Conference, nicknamed the Wildcats, were the only team that yours truly started for as a Commodore in college basketball. I think I had 9 points, and I will take no credit for this, although I should, but my roommate, Kevin Anglin, had a career-high 36, or maybe 38, in that game, and the Commodores won. So I was 1-0. The Commodores were 1-0 with me starting in the lineup.
Julian's doing a lot of laughing back there, so I don't think anybody's going to get it.
Well, no one's calling.
If we don't, Julian, we'll revert to your question of how many in a row.
I'll give you another hint. This school is a state university.
We got a winner.
Hey, all right. Is it my cousin?
It's Willie's next door neighbor.
Is it my dad?
Zach. Okay, Zach Baker's on the phone with me, said
nice.
New Hampshire, which is correct.
Bingo.
New Hampshire.
The mighty New Hampshire Wildcats. Currently, 6-8, and 10-18 overall in America East. They're probably not going to go to the tournament this year. And they didn't in the 91-92 season.
So now the phone lines are blowing up, so everybody has properly Googled
question. We do also have a giveaway for Chris Young, so we can figure out another trivia question here.
But we have got our winner. New Hampshire was the winner.
The New Hampshire Wildcats.
Zach, congratulations. Okay.
At Memorial Gym.
Ellie Tolvanen, first-round pick by the Predators, up in Chicago. You were up there for the draft coverage. You spoke to him right after the Predators.
Fun guy. Him. Great, yeah. Bright-eyed kid.
Really good interview. He has been playing over in the KHL. He has been playing for Team Finland in the Olympics. They lost to Canada this morning. So they're out, just like the U.S., who lost to the Czech Republic last night and won Martin Erat. Is it Erat or Erat?
I think when he's playing for the Czech Republic, it's
Erat.
Their announcers would say Erat.
Erat. But Ellie Tolvanen, they lost 1-0. Obviously, he didn't score, but he had quite the Olympic debut for him. It was quite the showing for Team Finland. He's going back to the KHL. There's been a lot of speculation on whether he would be a part of this roster or not. Well, maybe to help with that, and we spoke with Craig Custance yesterday, he's up in Detroit. That's his hub. And he caught up with assistant GM Paul Fenton, and he is putting out there on The Athletic because, as we know, Willie, we painted the picture yesterday. The brass was walking around Little Caesars Arena last night. They were seen. David Poile, Brian Poile, Paul Fenton, right? Maybe that was a diversion. Maybe that was to try to get people to start speculating things. But Paul Fenton did tell Craig Custance of The Athletic that Ellie Tolvanen will indeed join the Predators when his KHL season is over.
Well, that's not the full quote. The full quote says he gives himself a little bit of wiggle room, right? He says, I can't 100% predict the future, but he basically said the contract is there. It'll be ready for him as soon as that KHL season ends, which we don't know when that will be because they have two games in the regular season. They are going to be in the KHL playoffs.
Well, I guess my free trial subscription ran out because I can't pull up the quote. I need somebody's credit card here at the station to sign up for The Athletic.
I have The Athletic. What?
Oh, you have The
Athletic? Yes, I do. I've been busy doing contests, so please let me know what you need, and I can help you here.
All right. Let's get Craig Custance, who
This is like the kids in the house bumming their parents. They're out of college now, but they're still bumming their parents' cable password.
I still do that.
No, this is what everybody's doing for
that's
Netflix.
Not even that's right? Not even college. I still do that.
Raise post-college. Your hand if you use somebody else's account for Netflix. Hello.
Is this the Tolvanen story we're looking at right here?
Yes. Craig
Custance. Exact quote from Paul Fenton, assistant general manager.
From Paul Fenton, okay, we have a contract in place to be able to execute and have him come over here. Goes on to say, that's the plan. Funnier things have happened. I don't want to say 100%. I never do that in our business. Yes, our plan is to have him.
Okay, so that's the plan.
But see, that's the classic. Read the whole quote. Makes a lot of sense. The headline, I'm sure, will say, Tolvanen is coming over.
Joining the Predators.
As soon as the season's over, he's coming.
That's what everyone just heard when I read that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming. They stopped listening.
No, actually, I think they thought that when I threw out just a random quote that was not verbatim. Because
you could have just said his name and it would have been like, oh, he's coming.
The subscription, like you. And so
I got it for half off.
Good for you.
Christmas sale.
So there you go. That told us a little bit, not a lot.
But it's and
now,
it's not shocking.
Now wait a minute.
But it is
but
a pretty
is
clear
someone,
cut. This is our plan.
That's someone on record saying.
Yeah.
The plan is for him to join the team. The
newsworthy.
Plan. It's not 100%. That is newsworthy.
Newsworthy, just not shocking news. And I did see some people, you know, please don't trade Tolvanen. I kept thinking, they're not going to trade.
No.
Tolvanen.
They are not.
I don't know where that would even be discussable. And I never thought they would be dangling him out for anybody that's out there. So this shouldn't shock you, but maybe it makes you feel a little better if you were worried about that kind of thing. I do think they're going to bring him over. What they do with him when he gets here, they have a lot of different options. And you also don't know when it will be because he is obligated to finish the season with his team, and they are going for a championship. They're going to be in the playoffs in that league.
We'll give away tickets to Chris Young and give away Julian's password to The Athletic when we come back on the other side to wrap up Wednesday's edition of Darren and Donick. That's next. Like to win some tickets before you can even buy them. These tickets don't even go on sale until noon on Friday. Chris Young in concert along with special guests Kane Brown and Morgan Evans at Bridgestone Arena Saturday, September 22nd. Saturday, September 22nd. That'll be a really good show. Like I said, you can win tickets right now on our show before they even go on sale. Caller number 8. I guess for Kyle Turris. And his goal last night, Kyle Turris, caller number 8, guys, 737-1025. So, Julian, caller 8. We haven't had a chance to talk about some of the goings-on in baseball. There's been a lot of big news lately, really, including some stuff up in Boston. In Beantown, you see that they land J.D. Martinez, and you hear that David Price may have played a little bit of a role in that. So you had that. You've got your GM, Sandy Alderson, coming out saying Tim Tebow will play in Major League Baseball, will play in the MLB.
I can't believe he said that. I guess why can make it happen.
Why would he? I mean, he is the Mets GM. I mean, he can kind of control that. But why would he put that out there?
I can't see it based on numbers, but this will be an important year for Tim Tebow if he can make a jump. He's got to be on an accelerated path. Now, playing in the majors for a couple games in September or actually being a factor, that will be the question. But even if he makes the majors, that would be a major upset. There were a lot of people that thought, no way. No way would he ever make it. So just the fact that it's gotten to this point is pretty significant.
Then you had the Padres, and just help me with this, because I don't understand what the San Diego Padres are doing. It's like so many times in sports we see organizations or teams that they keep doing things that end up being huge mistakes, and you think, okay, they're going to learn from their mistakes or mistake, and they're not going to do that again. I understand Eric Hosmer is a really good player. I'm not going to take that away from him. But if you're the Padres, why would you give Hosmer an 8-year deal? They've gone down this road before. Why don't they just build through their system and try to get this thing back on track with kind of like what Arizona – other teams have done this. They build up – Tampa did it back in the early days when they built through the draft. San Diego, why do they keep going out and spending foolish money? They did this with the Upton's and – all these other silly contracts they've done over the years that's put them in a bind. They've ended up being horrible signings. Then they have to try to dump them in somebody else's lap, and they eat half the contract. Like I said, he's a good player. But you're not Eric Hosmer away from anything if you're the Padres. So why would you give him an 8-year deal?
That's a fair question. And I also wonder why Eric Hosmer went to the Padres. I guess their deal was that much better than anything else he'd been offered anywhere else?
I was going to say, isn't that usually how it works?
That's not a great match for him.
The highest bidder?
A left-handed hitting power hitter in San Diego is a tough deal. I mean, anybody who knows baseball, you know that's not an easy place for a power hitter. San Diego.
No, I've been
maybe
there.
The toughest.
It's a beautiful city, beautiful park, but it's not a hitter's park.
But he's getting paid either way. He must have been sold. I have to believe he thinks that there are good young players in the Padres system on the way.
But if you
and if you're the Padres, they must feel like they're close enough that if some of these kids hit, that they need a staple, they need a backbone kind of guy, and that Hosmer can be that guy. But it's a risk.
No, I get it.
8 years.
His part. I totally get it. I know, I'm pretty sure San Diego was the highest bidder, so he maximized what he could get. This was his big deal. This is his payday to set him up for life. Where now he's good for no matter what he does after baseball. He'll be set up as long as he's smart with his money. He went to two World Series. He went back-to-back years to the World Series. He won a World Series, so he's done all that. It's not like he doesn't want to win, but he doesn't. He's not one of those guys who's never even been to the playoffs and he's saying, man, I want to sign with a winner. He's done all that. He went to two World Series, and he won one. But for if you're San Diego, like I understand the Hosmer part, but I don't understand what San Diego's doing. Why? You're not Hosmer away from anything.
Not now, but they feel like they have good prospects.
They're going to win 75 games next year, if they're lucky. That's what they're going to win. So why would you dole out all that money? It's not like, no offense, but Eric Hosmer, there's not been a mad dash to the ticket office in San Diego to go see Eric Hosmer with the Padres.
But you do have to convince your fan base that you're serious about winning. And I do think it helps there. And like I said, I think they feel like they need a veteran to build around. It's like the 1991 Braves. I think in 1990 you would have said, why in the world would they want guys like Terry Pendleton? But now Pendleton was a different stage of his career. But you know what I'm saying? That they felt like if they had the right veterans, they had young players that were about to blossom. And they were right. They hit it big. You have to feel like that if you're San Diego. But you also have to sell to your fan base that we're trying to win here. Look at what the Rays are doing. The Rays have absolutely cut this thing down to the bare bones. If you're a Rays fan, you're looking down the roster. They traded everybody.
Sad.
Not just Longoria, but Corey Dickerson. Corey Dickerson and Steven Souza, guys that had
Souza
really good years.
To Arizona, right?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
For more prospects? Oh,
I mean,
their payroll's got to be.
That's another thing.
What is their payroll?
Why would anybody, unless you're just bored out of your mind and you were given free tickets, or you're just a huge baseball fan, why would anyone show up to a game down in Tampa? It's a crappy, crappy stadium. I hate to say that, but I've been there. It's terrible. Why would you go see that team? They're awful.
Right now,
they're going to lose 100 games.
Now they look like they're going to build a new stadium. That is the hope, right? So down the road, the days of that stadium are numbered. They're going to build a new stadium in Tampa. And
is that done?
They're progressing. It's slow, but they're going to get there. It's going to happen. It will happen.
Tell me when they've stuck a shovel in the ground. Tell me when they've cut a ribbon.
It is going to happen. They've got to get out of that place. Maybe in the meantime. Now, what you read is the skeptics are saying all they're doing basically is hanging around. And then once that stadium is on the horizon, the owners will then sell it for a heck of a lot more than they bought it for. And there'll be a. They'll be business geniuses. In the meantime, you're just trying to make it happen, but it's hard to sell a fan base. It's going to be really, really tough. This team has won. They've done a pretty good job with what they've been given in the last 10 years or so.
Not anymore.
But now it looks
now
pretty bleak.
Now it's bare bones.
Bleak.
Looks like a minor league team or has-been team, right? Just like cast-offs.
It's really, yeah, it's no names. It's not cast-offs. It's just young guys that there are no names. Like Jake Odorizzi is not a household name. They traded him.
I know. He's good last year.
He's been good. Corey Dickerson was in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And they designated him for assignment. They didn't trade him yet. He's been designated for assignment, which means they could release him. Because they didn't want to pay him big. He wants a big raise. He probably has earned a big raise. Some weird stuff going on.
It has been a weird offseason, I will say that. You had the players screaming.
And there's still some
collusion.
Unsigned guys out there that are pretty good.
Yeah, but they're starting to all sign now.
The top guys are.
But you've
got to be sweating if you're a veteran that's sitting out there going, you know, I'm pretty good.
But it's weird to see guys like J.D. Martinez signing as spring training's about to start. I mean, pitchers and catchers are reporting, and rarely do you see guys
the
at
market
that level.
Is, the market is adjusting.
Yeah.
And J.D. Martinez is a legit player. Now, the Red Sox, the question is, where does everybody play? But they got the bopper in the middle of their order that should help.
Why does he keep bouncing around? That's the only thing I've got to say. He's good, but what do we not
see? He hasn't bounced around much. He was a deadline pickup and then
good in
signed
Detroit,
his free agent.
They traded him. He's good in Arizona. They said, we're not signing you. Why?
Because of the money he's making. That's why.
Right, but if he's that good, which he is, I mean, if you 30 home runs, 100 okay. RBIs, you all right, pay.
If you want to get into it, the Tigers have way too much money in about six or eight games, so they don't have the money to do that. They've got to rebuild.
What's Arizona's excuse? Oh, that they were in it to win.
They are in it. They've got a lot of good players, so they didn't want to spend out the wazoo for JD Martinez to keep him.
What did he get, 110, 120?
Yeah, I understand that. Red Sox can afford it.
Red Sox can just afford everything.
Yeah.
That's not even news.
They're not scared.
Like, what?
Yeah.
That's what you get tired of these teams, like the Red Sox and Yankees, always spend all the money, and you're asking, okay, well, you're really bout at Arizona, then why are you letting a guy who was great for you last year, even though he only played half the season for your team, to go to basically what's not a competitor, not as far as in your same league, but still someone you could face down the road? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's not like they were just like, get out of here. They wanted him, but they just didn't want him at that price.
They didn't want him that bad.
Yeah. Right. What was their price?
Well, that's what I was saying. The market is adjusting here, and I think it's smart. Even the Yankees are trying to get under the luxury tax, which is amazing.
Sure, they trade for Stanton. Yeah, they're trying to clean things up. Yeah.
But they are in the process of trying to get under the luxury. Now, I'll believe that when I see it.
I think he's only got $260 million left on his deal. Congratulations, Jay Roten. I think that's right.
Yep, Roten.
Jay, good job. Caller 8. You won the Chris Young tickets. That's going to do it for us. Go out to Tin Roof on Broadway tonight from 7 to 8. Rome and Yossi will be the Preds' guest. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.